Hello, it is Ryan, and we could all use an extra bright spot in our day, couldn't we? Just to make up for things like sitting in traffic, doing the dishes, counting your steps, you know, all the mundane stuff. That is why I'm such a big fan of Chumba Casino. Chumba Casino has all your favorite social casino style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere with daily bonuses. So sign up now at chumbacasino.com. That's chumbacasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
So my friends always say that if something unlucky is going to happen, then it will most likely happen to me. They always say that if there is a creeper around, then I will end up being the one creeped on. Both of these statements seem to be true. I've been stalked multiple times, some ending pretty badly, and I have the worst luck imaginable. This story happened 3 years ago, and I still have nightmares about it. My mother came to stay with me for a week, which I knew would be a nightmare. We can hardly stand to be in the same room as one another, so fighting is inevitable. On her fifth night here, we got into a heated debate about religion and somehow turned into a full-out screaming match. About an hour into the screaming, my apartment manager knocked on the door. Before I could even apologize, my mother jumps in and says that I had been threatening her. I was so shocked and appalled that it threw me into a mini panic attack. I grabbed my keys from the key rack by the door and took off. It wasn't the wisest thing to do, but I was so frazzled that I didn't know what else to do. I ended up sobbing my eyes out and just driving. This went on and off for about an hour and 70 miles. Driving has always calmed me down, so even after the tears subsided, I kept going. About another hour later, I saw an exit for a dam, which surprised me. I lived here for 2 years, and I had no idea there was a dam anywhere close by. I decided to go take a look, even though it was 3 a.m. in pitch black.
What's up, fools? Main Event Jey Uso here from the WWE. When it's just me between matches, it's day one-ish. And that means it's Chumba time. With hundreds of casino-style games and new titles arriving weekly, there's always something fresh to try at Chumba Casino. The daily boosts make it even more fun. And have me about to get them all during my downtime. Ready for a fun way to chill out and enjoy a few minutes for yourself? Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See T's and C's. 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
I still wasn't ready to head back, and this seemed like a good distraction. It was another 30 miles on a desolate road before I finally reached the dam. It was hard to miss because it was the only light I had seen for those 30 miles. I crossed the dam and saw that there were a couple of turns leading to campsites. At this point, I also realized that there was a legit lake. Yeah, I know, dam equals lake, but I didn't really put the two together. I decided to flip around and go back to a little parking area I had seen near the dam. Once there, I parked and my night took a turn for the terrifying. I parked and proceeded to make one idiotic move after another. I rolled down one of my windows and could hear the sound of water hitting a shore, but in the light of my headlights, I couldn't see where it was coming from. The mosquitoes were pretty bad, so I rolled my window back up and started fishing around in my back seat for a flashlight that I knew I had somewhere in the car. Then I remembered that I had it in my trunk. Now, for what happens next, please feel free to label me as an idiot, because I surely am. I popped the trunk, turned off my car, opened the door, stepped out, closed the door, got the flashlight, closed the trunk, went back to the door, and it was locked. My doors unlock when you open them, so I have no idea how the door became locked again, but it was, and like the moron that I am, I still had the key in the ignition. I knew the door should have remained unlocked, so I hadn't really thought about taking the key. Instantly, tears started to well up because I knew I hadn't even bothered taking my phone with me. I panicked for a little while, but then I remembered the campsites I had seen, and I hoped that maybe someone would be in one and that they would have a phone I could borrow. I started walking and fretting about, waking up some poor stranger in the middle of the night, but I didn't see any other options. Each campsite I came to was completely empty. I think I checked like 15 or so before I started to get really nervous about how far I was wandering from my car. I think I had to have walked about a mile or so, and on the walk back, my battery started to fade on the flashlight. I was only about halfway back, I'd say, and my panic reached a whole new level. For whatever reason, the parking area in my car seemed like a safe haven, and I started sprinting. Remember what I said about being a moron with bad luck? Yeah. In my panic and in the darkness, I got switched around somewhere and ended up in a dead-end campsite, even though I would have sworn that I was still on the main road. This is when the major tears started. I panicked even more and ended up yet in another campsite. It felt like I was just getting more and more lost, and I couldn't hear the water anymore, so I calmed myself and decided to stay put till morning, which I knew wasn't too far away. I sat down, wrapped my arms around my legs, and proceeded to try rocking myself into calmness. It worked pretty well until I saw him. I had my eyes closed as I rocked, but then I heard a dull footstep. Looked up, obviously startled, and saw him standing only a few feet away. He was massive to me, and had a large but not fat build, like a football player. In hindsight, it's amazing that I hadn't heard him approaching sooner. For a second, all I could do was stare in the horror I was feeling and gasp out incomprehensible words. Then I literally screamed. It only took him a second to cross the distance between us, but I didn't even have the time to properly get up before he had his hand around my throat, choking me. For reference, I'm 5'3" and 132 pounds. Not skinny, but not fat. To him, I was nothing more than a ragdoll. I wasn't even sure what was happening, but I was being jerked around by the neck and arm. His hands were huge, and every place he grasped and pulled felt like he would snap something. When the movement stopped, I was in his lap with my head pressed against his chest and one of his legs partially crossed over me. He was half cradling me, half grappling me. I was too dazed to make a sound, but when I tried, his hand would tighten over my throat again. I went still for a few moments, but then I felt his tongue against my throat. He smelled like rancid beer and something decomposing. I struggled to get free again, but this time he pinched my esophagus between his thumb and forefinger. It was light at first, but then he started increasing the pressure. By the time he was done, I felt like I was going to pass out. I don't want to go into too much detail because the memory is still hard to revisit, but he went back to licking, groping, and kissing. It was traumatizing, but he never went for anything too intimate. I gave up on trying to scream or get away, but he would still occasionally choke me. I sat there and simply sobbed. Then, possibly even more disturbing, he started to hum and rock me. I'm not sure why this part bothered me so much, but it did. His voice seemed higher than it should be, and his hum was rather nasal. I don't know how to describe that. Then, just as his humming was becoming almost frantic sounding, I saw headlights and he stopped. Somewhere in the distance, it looked as if a car was heading our way. He also saw it, and I felt panic well up inside me, worried that he would drag me off somewhere, but he didn't. He simply let me go, stood up, and walked the opposite way into the trees. Without him supporting me, I fell back slightly and watched him walk off. The sun wasn't fully up yet, but there was enough light to make out more of him than I had been able to before. He looked as bad as he smelled. Dirty, saggy jeans, a white hoodie that was so stained that it looked brownish-gray, and medium-length brown matted hair. I didn't see his face at all because I kept my eyes shut for the entire time that he had me. I could hear the car getting closer, and I stood up. About 30 feet away was my flashlight and where I had been sitting, and I realized how far he had taken me while he pulled me around like a doll. I could see the car lights through the trees, but then they suddenly took a left and panic set in again. I worried that he would come back if he saw that the car wasn't coming to this campsite. I started to run. I didn't even care about staying on a path or road, just as long as I could still see the car. I caught myself on a few bushes and scraped myself, falling a few times, but the pain didn't even register. I was too desperate to care. It felt like forever, and I don't know how long I actually ran, but I eventually ended up being close enough to the car that the couple inside noticed me. They stopped and the guy got out. I remember not even being able to talk. For a long while, I was just shrieking at the poor guy. Even before I could tell them what happened, his girlfriend had called the police. Everything after that seems like a blur now. The couple drove me to the parking area as told to do so by the cops, just in case the man was still around. The sheriff's department showed up, took my statement, took me to the nearest station, asked for another statement, checked me for evidence, called my mother, and contacted the fire department to break into my car for me. Just as my mom and friend arrived at the station, a sheriff's car pulled up and in the back seat was the man. I was promptly pulled back inside and asked to make a positive identification. Wasn't like in the movies though. They literally just brought him up to me and asked, "This him?" Now, this part still leaves me extremely emotionally confused, but it is what it is. As I looked up at him, he wouldn't meet my eyes. He looked ashamed, confused, and oddly vulnerable. And then his eyes started to tear up. I knew that something had to be wrong with him mentally, and in a weird way, I actually felt some sympathy for him. I did confirm that it was him, but afterwards, I actually worried enough about him that I asked what would happen to him. This is where sympathy flew out the window. He was indeed mentally unstable, as I found out, but he was also a convicted sex offender already. Yeah, I actually lucked out with what little had happened to me. Looking back, it seems more like a dream, or nightmare. My mother and friend took me back to my car, and rather than being stuck in a car with my mom, I opted to let her drive my car back and I rode with my friend. The entire drive back, she kept drilling me for more information, but I couldn't bring myself to even talk about it. I still don't like talking about it, and I refused to ever go camping again. I'm also extremely paranoid about always having my key on me when I step out of my car. Not a funny haha kind of paranoid, but literally is now a compulsion to check to make sure I have my key with me. I usually have to check like 3 times to satisfy myself. And oh, yeah, as far as the guy goes, he was admitted to a psych hospital, and I really hope he remains there. I want to start by saying I'm not someone who writes things like this on the internet. I'm in my late 40s and I barely use social media, and the only reason I'm posting this at all is because my daughter found a thread similar to this one and sent it to me and said, "Mom, you need to put your story here because people need to hear it." So here I am. Bear with me because I'm going to tell this the way I remember it, which is every single detail, because this is the kind of night that burns itself into you permanently. This was 2003. My kids were young. My son Marcus was 7 and my daughter Reese was 5. My husband Dale was still with us then. We were a young family and it was a Saturday afternoon in August in Central Florida, where we lived at the time. It was brutally hot the way Florida in August always is, and the kids had been cooped up inside all day and were climbing the walls. Dale suggested that we take them to Chuck E. Cheese for dinner as a treat. The kids lost their minds with excitement, so we loaded up the minivan and drove about 20 minutes to the nearest location and got there around 5 in the evening. If you've ever been to a Chuck E. Cheese in the early 2000s, you know exactly what it's like. Loud beyond all reason, flashing lights everywhere, sticky floors, and the smell of cheap pizza and that specific brand of chaos that only exists when you put 50 children in a room full of arcade games and tokens. We got our tokens, got a table, ordered pizza, and let the kids run loose the way you do. Dale and I sat at the table drinking sodas and taking turns walking around keeping an eye on Marcus and Reese. The man was already there when we arrived. I noticed him within the first 15 minutes, but didn't really think much of it initially. He was sitting alone at a table near the back. No food in front of him. No kids anywhere near him. Probably mid-40s. Thin and wearing a button-up shirt that seemed too formal for the setting. Just sitting there watching the room. I registered him the way you register something slightly out of place and then moved on. About 45 minutes in or so, Marcus came running up to our table and asked for more tokens. Gave him a handful and he ran back toward the games. I watched him go and noticed the man had moved. He was now standing near the ticket redemption counter, closer to where the kids were playing, still alone just watching. I mentioned it to Dale quietly. He looked over and shrugged and said the guy was probably waiting for someone. I nodded and told myself the same thing. Then the man walked over to our table. He stood at the edge of it and looked at me and then at Dale and smiled in this way that felt weird, and said something like, "Great kids you've got." I said thank you in that clipped way you do when you want someone to know the conversation is over. Dale nodded at him. The man didn't move for a moment, just stood there at the end of our table laughing, and then said he'd seen us come in and thought we looked like a really nice family, that he'd been watching us since we got there. I didn't say anything.
Drew McIntyre here from WWE. Wielding the Claymore can be a life of chaos. When I'm not dominating in the ring, Chumba Casino is how this warrior takes a wee break. With hundreds of online social games and new weekly releases, there's always something fresh to try. And those daily boosts, next level. Even my free time feels like Valhalla. So when life feels like a battle, kick up your feet, have some fun, and let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See T's and C's. 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
Dale said, "Thanks, man." In a tone that meant, "Please leave now." The man held that smile for another second and then walked away back toward his table. Dale and I looked at each other pretty creeped out. I said I wanted to leave. Dale said let's just finish the pizza and keep an eye on him. I agreed because the kids were happy and the pizza had just arrived, and I told myself I was overreacting. But the man kept moving. Every time I looked up, he was somewhere different and always closer to wherever Marcus and Reese were. At one point, I got up to take Reese to the bathroom, and when we came out, he was standing in the hallway near the bathroom entrance. He looked at Reese and said she was a pretty little girl. I put my hand on Reese's shoulder and walked past him without responding, and went straight back to Dale and told him we were leaving right now. Dale went and got Marcus while I started gathering our things. I looked over and the man was back at his table watching us pack up. When we were ready to go and started heading toward the exit, he stood up. I watched him over my shoulder as we walked out. He followed us to the entrance area, not rushing, just walking steadily behind us. And then stopped at the door and watched us through the glass as we crossed the parking lot. I told Dale he followed us to the door. Dale looked back and saw him standing there watching us through the glass, and his jaw tightened. and he told me to get the kids to the car while he went back in to speak to a manager. I said, "Please just come to the car and we'll call someone from there." He listened and we all walked to the minivan together. It was parked toward the back of the lot, not far, maybe 60 feet or so from the entrance. I had the keys and I clicked the unlock button when we were about 20 feet away, and the lights flashed. Marcus ran ahead the way kids do and grabbed the handle of the sliding door and yanked it open and climbed in. What happened next took about 3 seconds, and I have replayed it thousands of times. Marcus screamed. Not the way a kid screams when they're startled or playing. The way a child screams when something is truly wrong. Dale was at the side door in an instant, and I grabbed Reese and pulled her back away from the car. The man from inside was in the back row of our minivan. I do not know how long he had been in there, and I do not know how he got in there because I am certain I locked that car when we arrived. He was crouched in the back seat, and he had a machete across his lap. What happened next? I am not going to describe in full detail because I have children who may one day read this, and because some of it I still can't fully put into words. Dale grabbed Marcus out of the car and pushed him toward me, and I ran with both kids to the entrance of the Chuck E. Cheese, screaming for someone to call 911. A staff member got us inside and locked the door, and someone called the police. Dale did not come with us. He spent 4 days in the hospital, 2 surgeries. He has a scar that runs from his left shoulder down across his back that he will have for the rest of his life. He does not talk about those few minutes in the parking lot, and I have never pushed him to. What I know is that when the police arrived, they found the man on the ground next to the minivan, and Dale was the one who had put him there. The machete was on the asphalt. The man was arrested that night. It came out during the process that followed that he had a history of incidents like this, that he had been known to police in 2 other counties, and that he had targeted families before. A family, in a public place full of children on a Saturday night. I have never fully understood what his intentions were, and I'm not sure I really want to. My kids are now young adults. Neither of them has been inside a Chuck E. Cheese since that night, and neither has Dale, and neither have I. Marcus told me a few years ago that he still has a hard time in loud, crowded places. Something about the noise and the flashing lights puts him on edge in a way he can't really explain to people who weren't there. I know exactly what he means. I noticed that man within 15 minutes of arriving. I pointed him out to my husband. I watched him move around that building for over an hour, getting closer and closer to my children, and I still almost didn't leave in time. That's the thing nobody tells you about situations like this. Your instincts are usually right. The problem is that every reasonable part of your brain is working against them, telling you you're overreacting, that it's a public place and that nothing bad happens in a Chuck E. Cheese on a Saturday night. Trust the feeling and leave. Found the listing on a Thursday night, sitting on the floor of my friend Kendra's apartment, surrounded by everything I owned in 4 garbage bags. I've been staying with her for 11 days after my previous living situation fell apart fast and ugly, and as grateful as I was, I could feel the clock running. She had her own life, and I needed to move. The listing was on a local housing board, the kind of bare-bones site with no photos and no verification of anything. The price was the first thing that caught me, $450 a month, including utilities, in a city where I'd been looking at $800 for a shared bedroom. I almost scrolled past it assuming it was a scam. The ad was sparse. Private room in a quiet residential home. Females only. Respectful household. Serious inquiries only. A list of rules about guests and noise were longer than the rest of the ad combined. No photos. I emailed anyway because $450 is $450. He responded within minutes. Said his name was Gerald. He explained the females only rule right away, unprompted, and said that he'd had problems in the past with male renters being disruptive and disrespectful of the space. He was a retired widower, he said. Quiet, kept to himself, and just wanted a responsible tenant to help with the bills. He could show the room tomorrow if I were available. I told Kendra about it, and she asked me to at least look before committing to anything. I said of course. The house was a narrow 2-story on a residential street. Well kept. Nothing alarming about it from the outside. Gerald answered the door before I knocked, which meant he'd been watching for me. He was in his mid-70s, slight with very pale eyes and thin white hair combed flat. He was dressed formally for a home showing, pressed slacks and a collared shirt buttoned to the top. He shook my hand with both of his and held it a moment too long and smiled without showing his teeth. The house was immaculate, not clean the way people clean before showing a room, clean the way a place is when cleaning is a compulsion. Every surface bare. Everything perfectly parallel. A faint smell of bleach under the air freshener. He showed me the common areas first. walking slightly behind me and narrating in a soft, measured voice. He showed me the kitchen, the living room where he spent most of his time, and a small bathroom, then the spare room upstairs. It was plain and clean and had a lock on the door. He asked me about myself while we stood in the room, where I worked, what my hours were like, and whether I had family nearby. I told him I just moved to the city, keeping it vague. He nodded along slowly and asked whether people knew my address yet, whether I'd had a chance to get settled. I thought it was small talk. I said, not really, still figuring things out. I took the room because I needed it and because the lock on the door made me feel better than I should have. I moved in on a Saturday. By the second week, I had stopped being able to ignore the feeling that something was wrong. He was always awake when I came home. Every time, no matter what hour, he was in the living room chair facing the front door with the lamp on and the television off. He would look up when I came in and say good evening and nothing else. He never seemed to sleep. I never heard his bedroom door close at night. My things moved while I was out. Small things like my toiletries rearranged on the bathroom shelf, my jacket hung differently than I'd left it, or my shoes turned to face the opposite direction.
Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing. Game night's fun until someone spends 5 minutes lining up one shot. Chalk, breathe, re-chalk. Still aiming. While they figure it out, I fire up Chumba Casino. I can spin anywhere, anytime, and there's always a new social casino game every week. Spins happen way faster than that shot. Play now at ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
Sponsored by Chumba Casino. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
Nothing missing, nothing damaged, just slightly wrong every time I came home. He knew my schedule before I told him. He would have dinner on the stove on the nights I got off at 6. He would mention offhand that I must be tired after the long shift on days I hadn't told him would be long. When I asked how he knew, he would smile and say he just had a feeling. I told myself it was an old man being attentive. I told myself I was lucky, and I said this to myself for about 3 weeks. I found the notebook on a Tuesday morning. He left for his weekly grocery run, and I was in the kitchen making coffee. It was on the counter beside the refrigerator, not hidden at all, just sitting there like a notepad does. I picked it up thinking it was a grocery list. My name was written across the top of the first page. I stood in the kitchen and read it. Daily entries going back 5 weeks. Starting 2 weeks before I'd even responded to his listing. My full name, which I had never given him in full. A physical description so detailed it turned my stomach. My workplace, my old address, Kendra's name and address. He had researched me before I existed to him as anything other than a target. The entries tracked my routine with the precision of someone who had been watching for a long time. The language shifted as the entries went on. Less observational, more personal, delusional in a way that made my legs feel unstable. He wrote about me like we had an established relationship, like I was already his. I should have left right then, I know that. But instead, I opened the cabinet above the refrigerator where he kept his miscellaneous papers and found two more notebooks behind a stack of folders. Different names on the covers, same format. The second one was from 4 years ago. I read the last entry, 4 words and a date. She tried to leave. I searched the name on my phone right there in his kitchen. Missing persons case. Unsolved. Last known address listed as this house. The case had gone cold. There were two others when I searched the third maid. I went upstairs and started putting things in my bag as quietly as I could. I wasn't thinking clearly. I was operating on something more basic than thought. Just moving and just get out, get out, get out. I packed for maybe 4 minutes and then I stopped. There was a shadow under my bedroom door. He was standing directly outside in the hallway. Could see the outline of his feet in the gap beneath the door, perfectly still. He didn't knock and didn't say a word, didn't move, just stood there in the dark hallway outside my door in complete silence, while I stood on the other side of it unable to breathe. I don't know how long it lasted, it felt like a long time. I backed up slowly to the window and unlatched it without taking my eyes off the shadow under the door. I went out the window onto the porch roof, in my socks and dropped into the side yard and ran. Called the police from 3 blocks away. I sat on the curb of a stranger's house in the dark and shook while I talked to the dispatcher. They searched the house that night. Gerald was taken in for questioning. I gave my statement and handed over everything I'd photographed in his kitchen before I ran. The detective I spoke with was professional and measured and gave almost nothing away. But at the end of our conversation, she asked me if I'd ever gone into the basement while I was living there. I told her I didn't know there was a basement. She wrote something down and didn't respond to that. She thanked me for coming in and told me I'd be contacted with any updates. That was 8 months ago. The investigation is ongoing yet. I've been advised not to discuss specifics. Gerald has not been charged with anything at all, which is its own kind of horror that I still live with every day. I still don't know what they found in the basement. I've never asked directly and nobody has told me.
Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing. Game night's fun until someone spends 5 minutes lining up one shot. Chalk, breathe, re-chalk. Still aiming. While they figure it out, I fire up Chumba Casino. I can spin anywhere, anytime, and there's always a new social casino game every week. Spins happen way faster than that shot. Play now at ChumbaCasino.com.
Let's Chumba. Sponsored by Chumba Casino. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
I think about that on purpose. I let myself not know. Because I have a feeling that if I did know, I would never sleep again.
Hello, it is Ryan, and I was on a flight the other day playing one of my favorite social spin slot games on ChumbaCasino.com. I looked over at the person sitting next to me, and you know what they were doing? They were also playing Chumba Casino. Everybody's loving having fun with it. Chumba Casino is home to hundreds of casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere. So sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com to claim your free welcome bonus. That's ChumbaCasino.com and live the Chumba life.
Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.